Yeshi bir yachito bhai jay navamang partivam vapuhu dugde mang oshabir vipras kenayam sa ushatamaha. In translation, O Brahmanas, in the ninth incarnation, the Lord prayed for by the sages accepted the body of a king, Pritu, who cultivated the land to yield various produces. And for that reason, the earth was beautiful and attractive. So in the PowerPoint show here, we got a picture. I did a search for wheat and got a very nice wheat field. Kind of nice because it's a big picture of industrial farming, which I guess can't be all bad if it's done properly. But generally speaking, it's industrialization. One time Prabhupada was talking about the hammer and the sickle. He said, we like the sickle. He said, the hammer has beaten the life out of everybody. So it says industrialization is with big machines, centralization of production, artificial, fertilizers, artificial irrigation, soil sterilizers, artificial seeds, and it produces this artificial food, poisoning like that. But so if people, cultivate the land personally with naturally with animals and other things, themselves, then the production is so much greater. And then it's saying that the earth looks beautiful. So it's kind of indicates that she looks nice by herself, but she's meant to be, glorified and beautified by the cooperation of human beings. In cooperation with all of her children. So what we did then, because yesterday the class was, one place we read, Prabhupada wrote that even in 3 months you can't do one verse properly, completely, of Srimad Bhagavatam. Maybe it was 3 weeks, but I remember I looked at it again, it was confirmed it was 3 months, Prabhupada says one verse. So what to speak of 45 minutes. So I had some thoughts yesterday, and also to kind of relate it to today's verse. So I thought, go back up and look at those. So previous text, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.13, and the translation was, the eighth incarnation was King Rishabha, son of King Nabi, and his wife Meru Devi. In this incarnation, the Lord showed the path of perfection, which is followed by those who have fully controlled their senses and who are honored by all orders of life. And we have a little picture of Rishabhadeva talking to his 100 sons, of whom Bharata was the most prominent. And 9 of them, as I understand, took sannyas directly, and they became the Nabi Yogendras who preach in the 11th canto. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, the society of human being is naturally divided into 8 by orders and statuses of life. The 4 divisions of occupation and 4 divisions of cultural advancement. Of course, this is occupation is Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And cultural advancement is Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Okay. And then Prabhupada says, the Paramahamsa stage of life is the highest stage of perfection. He, Rishabhadeva, instructed his sons to follow this path of perfection by tapasya, which sanctifies one's existence and enables one to attain the stage of spiritual happiness, which is eternal and ever increasing. So the I have a nice picture here we got from the internet. maybe it's an ISKCON picture. I don't know, a BBT picture, but maybe. But they really caught lower aspects of Indian culture here, the faces and everything else. It's very nice. So they're harassing Rishabhdev, different village people. Yeah. And he's just walking around in his clothes. Sorry, his kopans. Yeah. Which he didn't even have those, apparently. Yeah. So in the purport, remembering, if you look at it, it's actually pretty much a paraphrase of the instructions of Rishabhdev in the fifth canto, like that. And these occur quite a bit. Our basic text is Nectar of Instruction, first instruction for neophyte devotees. And there in text number 10, Karmabhya Parite Hare, Prabhupada's talking about karmis, vikarmis, jnanis. And he also quotes the instructions of Rishabhdev. It's very easy to remember because it's 5, 5, 5. There you go. Actually, the text before that is the one that starts with 5, 5, 4. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yadindriya pratyaya apanoti. Like that. And the next one, parabhavas. And so text 5, 5, 4 is completely quoted. And text 5, 5, 4, one phrase is cited. But then if you go to chapter 5, 5, 1 in the Gita, you find all three texts, 5, 5, 4, 5, and 6. And, you know, such wonderful prayers. They're printed separately by the BBT as a little book. And probably several times we'll find the Prabhupada or Acharyas, you know, focusing on these prayers. There's so many, these instructions, you know, so many instructions like that. And it's interesting because Giri Govardhan yesterday, he was talking about this point about, you know, renouncing sense gratification. And of course, again, my thoughts, it's a big topic. You know, again, it's maybe been three months of classes, maybe 90 classes or something more. Yeah. But in general, the point seems to be Varna Ashram Dharma is especially important for all of us. Because he was talking too about us, you know, practically speaking, and maybe specifically about us, you know, about Americans, Westerners, and that's who I deal with in many cases. And people from India, China, have different cultural circumstance, situation, bodies, karma. But in the West, okay, and Prabhupada is Paschacha Desha Tarine. He's delivering Western people. So in some ways, we're the most fortunate people because we are Paschacha Deshis. Where are you from? I am from the West. Oh, you are so fortunate. Because we have Srila Prabhupada sent. And he made adjustments to make everything practical for us. And so, again, for our reading, most of Srimad Bhagavatam is Daivi Varna Ashram Dharma. The pure Bhakti Yoga is extracted by Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion, and boom, rapid length path is there. But from a more practical perspective, we have the pregnancy of Diti in the evening, the marriage of Devahuti and Kardama, Krishna enters Dwarka, and you know, the highly elevated activities of the stages of Naimisharanya, people like this, you know. And this is all related to, you know, a lot to Varnashram. So the discussion yesterday was how can we actually do this, become steady, nishta, in our devotional service. So a lot of this is Varnashram. You know, that we should understand, Prabhupada says a Nectar of Instruction, everybody should be educated in the basic principles of Varna Ashram. Dharma siya hiya pavarga siya nartha vidyayopi kalpate. And it's like Giri Govardhan, he was saying, we have to know the goal. It's a very important point that comes out. Two kinds of kanista adhikaris, those who want to advance and those who don't want to advance. Those who simply want to exploit Krishna for liberation and those who want to engage in devotional service to become free from akama sarva kama bam moksha kama. Yeah. And so, yeah, those kind of people, Dhimpaba says, we should favor them. Devotees should favor them. Yeah. And so the Varna Ashram system is very practical for us, I think, that we should understand a little bit about how to deal with Brahmachari Ashram. And maybe many of us went through some time in the temple, a few years like that, even though we were late starters. And now we have some other new generations coming and trying to offer them, you know, some kind of Brahmachari training, some ashram training for girls and Brahmachari new life. And different things have been proved practical. For example, homeschooling, from my experience in ISKCON, has been a very successful program like that. It's like Janmashtami, another big ISKCON success. We didn't really think Janmashtami would be such a success. But all the reports I hear is just the attendance is unbelievable. Something that they were planning on 1,500 guests for the Denver Temple, and by 7 o'clock at night, all the prasada for the guests was exhausted. It's almost like, you know, you can make it as big as you want to, it seems. So that's what we do. Prabhupada also, he wasn't planning on preaching to hippies. They were the best customers. And so wherever, you know, whatever the result is. So Varna Ashram is the general way that people exist. You know, there are all these tendencies, even amongst dogs. And then beyond that is the natural way to stimulate people, you know, to become regulated. Okay, so again, we're trying to control our agitation. Okay, then you take some time, some consideration, you know, and cook properly, right? Offer it to Krishna, and then take prasadam, and you feel very satisfied in many ways, in many levels. It's the same way, too, of course, in the relationship between the opposite sexes. If there's just some superficial sense gratification, then afterwards people, you know, feel degraded, disgusted, you know, cheated. But if it's actually for the purpose of having nice children and giving them an opportunity to become wonderful devotees, you know, then the relation becomes very satisfying. You know? And so, Krishna never suggests anything unnatural. And so he's suggesting, you know, that all these activities, taking prasadam at regulated time, have relations, sexual relations in a regulated fashion. And if we do this, and it all becomes very natural and very satisfying. And like Prabhu was saying yesterday, you know, we have to get the higher taste. So it may take some time this way and that way, and, you know, before we can become, second initiated devotees and following properly. And if there's some deviations, some fall downs, okay. Ajamil was properly initiated. He had a fall down, you know, for 40 years, something like that. But it's the main point, again, is if we're sincere, if we know what the goal is and we're trying to achieve that, you know, then we can just keep on making adjustments. And in the end, yes, you know, we have to come to this point of being detached from Vacho Vegam, Manasa, Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, connecting everything with Krishna, and then just gratifying our body in terms of the service we have to have. And of course, in the end, we're all going to, you know, leave this body. So at that point, we become neglectful of gratifying it like that. So that's kind of the thoughts we had, and especially how to do this. My cursor there. Yeah. And it's also then 3552. Also the instructions of Rishabh Dev. We include a nice photo of Prabhupada appreciating. I think the picture is in Los Angeles. The problem was appreciating this. I guess it's an airport. It looks like an airport, but some kirtan was going on or something. And probably was appreciating the devotee service. Yeah. So Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2, one can attain the path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service to highly advanced spiritual personalities. So that's the real essence, is that you can have so many artificial, though mechanical, though spiritual techniques for controlling our senses, but jnana, this is the higher technique, you know, wisdom. But in the end, the only thing which will allow us to really become completely free from material contamination is bhava, and having, you know, serving a devotee who's engaged in serving, you know, Krishna. And when we do that, then we feel complete satisfaction. Yayatma supasiddhati. So therefore, it's very important, you know, for all of us, myself, you know, always be trying to, you know, mature our relationship with Srila Prabhupada, you know, like that. Very personal thing, and we can very much feel his presence and his murti, you know, and like that, and serving his deities, you know, all ISKCON deities are his deities, the deities in our house are his deities, you know. And so, of course, Srila Prabhupada is very much, you know, attached to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who wrote for Srila Prabhupada. So that's what my thoughts about, you know, the verse on which today's verse is following this is coming like that. That it's possible, and you know, I hope it's possible, to become completely free. We have to become free from life breathing, Prabhupada says. Our light, our air has to become free from material color, so that our breathing, our respiration is coming from the Maha Mantra, which is possible. Just practicing, chanting, and kirtan, everything else, and then eventually realizing the Maha Mantra, Golokera Premadana, Harinama Sankirtana. It's not a part of this material world, if we haven't been offensive. You know, Brahmande Brahmate Kong, Nibhag, Nibhan Ji, Guru Krishna Prasad, Paya, Bhakti Varadiji. So we actually have this Maha Mantra and by chanting, and we can actually have an opportunity to serve Hara, Krishna, and Rama. You know? And then, by the mercy of Rama, by the mercy of Prabhupada, and then we'll feel that satisfaction. Which will allow us to give up the lower satisfaction. So then today's verse, 113:14, before the advent of King Prithu, there was a great havoc of maladministration. So here we are in Varnashram again. Due to the vicious life of the previous king, the father of Maharaj Prithu. So of course that was Vena, who was a real rascal like that. Even by the modern standards in America, of all these mass murders of children, Vena was said nothing new. Vena, when he didn't agree with his playmates, he would drown them in the river. Mentally disturbed fellow. And he was a tough guy, powerful, big. And so then what else did he do? He became king. And his father was so disgusted when he understood, he just left. He didn't control him. Took sannyas. So as king, he declared himself God when the brahmanas were trying to tell him to calm down and do his job properly and worship the Supreme Lord. And he said, why are you being unchaste? I maintain you all by my tapasya and everything else. You know, so telling you to worship God is being unchaste. You should worship me. So that disturbed them. But everything was maladministration. In some ways, it's interesting because all the little thieves were hiding because the big thief was there. You know, so many times happens. Prabhupada said that because Vena was such a monster, and all the little monsters all ran away in fear. So in some respects, things were organized. But that was actually the problem with Duryodhana's administration too. In that, materially speaking, everything was going well, you know, but at heart was this deep ontological, existential envy of God, and so it's like eating green fruit. For some time, you have energy, your friends increase, but then everything turns against you, and the earth rejects you, and everything else, and destruction comes. So ultimately, you know, Vena overtly, you know, was preaching this stupid philosophy. And so then Prabhupada says the intelligent class of men, namely the sages and the brahmanas, not only prayed for the Lord to come down, but also dethroned the previous king. It is the duty of the king, Prabhupada says in the purport, to be pious. and look after the all-around welfare of the citizens. So we get a picture of Bhishma Dev here, like that. So the king, it's his duty to be pious. It's interesting, it comes to mind our good President George Bush. I don't know what happened to him after he left the presidency. Maybe somebody knows. One kind of a little bit sarcastic Vaishya in Bolivia said, well, what happened is now you can drink whiskey without feeling any guilt. So before, apparently, President Bush had this problem of impious activity with alcohol and everything else. But even he felt, that it was his duty to act piously while he was in the presidency. So people appreciate this, that the duty of the king is to act piously. And even though it may be a little bit more than you want to do, as a Vaishya, you can get away with this and that, but the Kshatriya administrator, no, you have to act properly, because everybody's going to do what you do. Okay? And also because the karma of the state is involved with your karma. And thus look after the all-around welfare of the citizens. Dharmasya hi apavargasya. So the purpose of pious activities, dharma, is not for sense gratification, but ultimately for liberation. So that's the all-around welfare of the citizens. Whenever, Prabhupada says, whenever there is some negligence on the part of the king in discharging his duty, the intelligent class of men must dethrone him. So that becomes a question, and automatically, how? Because our picture of Bhishma Dev doesn't look like a guy that any brahmana wants to dethrone. He's got solid armor on. His body's like a massive mountain. His intelligence and gaze are as clear as an electric arc. And he has a really sharp sword in his hand. So the question is, how do the brahmanas dethrone the negligent monarchs? So Chanika Pandit, he gives Prabhupada, actually Prabhupada said you can be taught in the Gurukula, during one lecture. Prabhupada says that Chanika Pandit says royalty are like snakes. Royalty are like snakes. But they can be controlled by good advice. So anybody who's maintaining as an administrator knows he's so much involved in the activity of things by nature and by karma, that he hasn't got time to stop and think about things in a more broader aspect. So Chanika Pandit says, three things go to a rapid destruction. A king, trees on the bank of a river, because the river water washes them away. Trees on the bank of a river. A woman in the house of some man other than her husband. And a king without counselors. He says these three go to a rapid destruction. Trees on the bank of a river. A woman in the house of some man other than her husband. And a king without counselors. So that's all that when Brihaspati was insulted by Indra. That was Brihaspati's strategy to reform Indra's negligence by just disappearing. And he could do it because he was more powerful than Indra. One devotee wrote to Prabhupada about some activities of the president in Portland, this and that, different problems. And Prabhupada said, you should follow his instructions. And then the devotee wrote back and said, but Prabhupada, he's not chanting his rounds, all of his rounds, he's not in the programs, this and that. And so Prabhupada wrote again and said, I said you should follow his instructions, but I didn't say you had to associate with him. So by subtle manipulations, the brahmanas, because of their nature, they can make these adjustments, and then they can dethrone, the negligent administrators. And the second system is in terms of the Parasuram technique. And there directly, some brahmanas take up, the administrative positions. They become kshatriyas. Prabhupada says when these things go on, then administrative is kshatriya? administratively inclined brahmanas then lead the brahmanas in a revolt, or else they animate the more qualified brahmanas, like Chanakapanda trained Chandragupta, like that. So they take the position themselves, which is a little bit apad dharma, or else they inspire and train qualified Kshatriyas administrators to take up the position and challenge the negligent authorities, either to reform themselves, come to their senses, or else, you know, to replace them, like that, you know, by force. And of course, there are different levels of force. What's the first one? Flattery, bribery, threat, physical violence, and assassination. Okay, so different levels. Okay, go ahead here. So they dethroned him. Prabhupada says, the intelligent class of men, however, do not occupy the royal throne, because they have much more important duties for the welfare of the public. Instead of occupying the royal throne, they prayed for the incarnation of the Lord. And the Lord came as Maharaj Prithu. Real intelligent men or qualified brahmanas, never aspire for political posts. So Prabhupada says one time all the demigods are Sakam devotees, normally. They all want something for their service. And he says, even Yamaraj, and he's after the position, you know, to be the Yamaraj. You know. Of course, sometimes they're not Sakam, they're pure devotees. You know. But this is the case if somebody is a Brahmana. And so we can be Brahmana by our previous activities, by our karma, have some inclination like that. Or Srimvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha. By being engaged by, you know, a highly elevated devotee in hearing and chanting, then we become Punya, Punyatma, pious people. And we can take up Brahminical activities in terms of our limits, abilities. And if Krishna wants, we can do very, very amazing things like that, you know, under different circumstances. You know. So in the light of the Bhagavad, there's the same verse about the wind blowing the clouds to different places to give rain. And Prabhupada says the wind is the brahmanas with their high-pitched sound. That's how the brahmanas got rid of Vena. Different propaganda, literature, individual communications, talking with people as you pass by here and there, in an anarchical, unblockable, unimpedable fashion, the brahmanas start generating high-pitched sound, right? And by this the clouds are moved. You know, the vaishyas and kshatriyas are agitated to carry to where they can do their work, to give charity, to organize people and sacrifice. But Prabhupada says in the purport that the brahmanas should never do the work of becoming vaishyas and kshatriyas. Some people, there's mixed dharma. As far as I can tell, I'm shudra, brahmana. You know? I like to do PowerPoint shows. If I don't do things like that, I get sick. You know? And I'm not completely in the mode of goodness. I like to get up early, so on. Okay. So we find our place, and then we support brahmanas. If we're kshatriya, and then we support the brahmanas. And we may be more advanced devotees than they are, but it's their nature. So you put them in the right place, and you say, to speak, talk, give a class, and say, yes, sir, your majesty. Yeah. And appreciate it. Yeah. So, you know, this is the situation. The brahmanas, they chant Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, and hope that Krishna will adjust the situation. In Vrindavan, only Krishna and Balaram kill demons. That's a mantra we got from our mind or something when we run the Brajmanda Parikrama. Many times in the Parikrama. Yeah. And so agitating. Unbelievable. Yeah. And so again and again, I would tell myself, in Vrindavan, only Krishna and Balaram kill demons. And if Krishna and Balaram want you to kill demons on their behalf, it's so natural, so, you know, spontaneous, and so perfect that all the demons you kill or all the people you chastise or whatever, they all feel good. So nobody is disturbed by it. Right? So when you're becoming angry, better just to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. And then let Krishna and Balaram, you know, take care of your adjustments. And if they want you to, your intelligence will be very clear how to deal with the situation without with expert use of violence. Okay. Maharaj Prithu purport goes on, excavated many produces from the earth. And thus not only did the citizens become happy to have such a good king, but the complete site of the earth also became beautiful and attractive. So we got some pictures. If you look on the internet, actually these I did now the on the PowerPoint and everything, insert clip art. When you're online, my goodness, yes, a lot of nice pictures. It's amazing. You look up Hindu, you'll find Krishna, Rama, everything. And so I got some pictures of, you know, trees in blossom in the springtime, and I put an apple there. But then, this, expanding this a little bit here, it comes to an end here, we were going back to the ahead of the first canto, chapter 17, 18. And that's how Maharaj Parikshit actually deals with these things in the Kali Yuga. Yeah. So 1843, because we're talking about dethroning the administrators and everything else, we have to be careful we don't become little Shringis, and out of our impudence and our arrogance for our little bit of brahminical prowess, we don't, you know, use that to kill people pervert different plots, sabotage different things. Yeah. And after doing that stupid thing, Shringi's father, Shamika Rishi, he told him, 1843, my dear boy, the Lord who carries the wheel of a chariot is represented by the monarchical regime. And when this regime is abolished, the whole world becomes filled with thieves who then at once vanquish the unprotected subjects like scattered lambs. So yeah, there's going to be a problem. If you're a woman being married, putting up with your husband, this idiot, it's going to be a problem. Same way, if your husband, you know, putting up with your wife, if your kids, putting up with your stupid parents, you know, or if everybody, parents with their stupid kids, you know, brahmanas with their stupid administrators, administrators with these sahajya brahmins, everybody's going to have problems. I personally heard from Prabhupada's lips when the reporter asked him, are there problems in your temples? And Prabhupada said, this is the material world. There are problems everywhere. So even when Krishna was personally present in Vrindavan, there were demons coming. And they're roaring was so terrifying. The girls were having abortions, you know, miscarriages. Incredible. You know? So, okay, you know, we don't be tolerant, you know. Think of your own faults and then be a little bit tolerant of other people's faults. So I try to do my stupid, you know, agitation. And then see how Krishna's arranging all these things. There's a perfect reason for all these problems. You know, higher perspective like that. You know? And then, you know, don't be so anxious if you are in a brahminical position or there's some sort of, what's it, the Cain mutiny. That's one. Nice thing, if you know American cinema, the Cain mutiny was a good example of this. Yeah. Don't be so anxious to eliminate them. You know, a good temple president, a good GBC, a good chief executive officer of a corporation, these can all be, you know, wonderful, you know, wonderful people. And then if they have some faults, okay, then we accommodate, we adjust, we help them. As Brahmins, we make a little adjustment so that his position is correct. And try and help the person correct the situation like that. So don't be so anxious to eliminate the Kshatriyas. 1.17.41, Prabhupada says, the Brahmanas are the religious preceptors for all other castes, and the sannyasis are the spiritual masters for all the castes and orders of society. But they have to be qualified, that's the point. We have to understand our limits. For example, myself as a sannyasi, you know, how qualified am I? I'm at Nityagora Sundar's house here in Tennessee, and yesterday Vatavaja Swami was here. What's his name? Niranjana Swami came, myself, and then Hridayananda Maharaj called on Skype. It was like Nityagora Sundar's family, his kids, and one of the family were here. It was a circus. You know, Hridayananda Maharaj was joking, calling Niranjana Swami the only living pure devotee on the planet. Like that. And so it was very nice, penetrating about what's going on, everything else like that. We're joking. But what are our qualifications? Are we eating, you know, a whole life? We eat nothing but, you know, was it soaked rice in a skull like Gorkhashwar Das Babaji? No, I mean, how much pizza and ice cream is consumed by ISKCON sannyasis? You know? But at the same time, too, then there's a practical standard. Prabhupada didn't push Nirjala Ekadasi for us in India. I think it's more accepted. People's bodies are different. But as I understand, for us, it's not 64 rounds. For us, it's 16 rounds on beads. And then chant while you're doing work all the rest of the time. You know, you should do 64 rounds of Maha Mantra, Bhagavatam, while you're chanting, while you're working, you know, and talking about Krishna's service. And then not Nirjala Ekadasi, but okay, fasting until noon, and then take Ekadasi prasadam. And then Krishna Lord Chaitanya, who's very famous as Patita Pavana, will see our sincerity, and he'll make all the miracles happen. So sannyasis are the preceptors of all the society. So ISKCON sannyasis, yeah, everybody should try to do that if you can. It's good. You know, Grihastha ashram is for preparing for vanaprastha. And vanaprastha is for preparing for sannyas. And if you can do it properly, you know, in a healthy fashion, then it's very good for you and for everybody else. And Prabhupada says in that purport, if a brahmana is not truthful, all his claims as a brahmana at once become null and void. Okay, if a sannyasi is illicitly connected with women, all his claims as a sannyasi at once become false. Similarly, if the king and the public leader are unnecessarily proud, or habituated to drinking and smoking, certainly they become disqualified to discharge public welfare activities. And then we have some nice pictures here we got from the internet. Truthfulness is the basic principle for all religions. Because it's a Kali Yuga thing, no? So even science as a religion is based upon truth. One Nobel laureate we worked with, Charles Townes, he discovered the laser. He said that. People tell me that science is free from moral values. But I point out that truth is a moral principle. And that's the basis of science. But the other three are not there. Cleanliness, mercy, and austerity. So finishing off, the four leaders of human society, namely the sannyasis, the brahmana, the king, and the public leader, must be tested crucially by their character and qualification. Before one can be accepted as a spiritual or material master of society, he must be tested by the above-mentioned criteria of character. So it's interesting, before somebody, the President of the United States can submit somebody as chief candidate as to Supreme Court justice, I think also as members of the cabinet, Secretary of War. Yeah. But then they have to be ratified, they're tested by the Congress. So same way, yeah, our sannyasis and our acharyas, gurus and ISKCON, are some testing process. But also then administrators should also have this. You know, so before somebody becomes a president, this and that, there should be specific qualifications in terms of their history and everything else like that. It should be systematically reviewed as an institution. This is my idea, especially as we get bigger, you know, expanding more and more. We need to institutionalize things, you know, on a broader level. Such public leaders may be less qualified in academic qualifications, but it is necessary primarily that they be free from the contamination of the four disqualifications, namely gambling, and drinking, prostitution, and animal slaughter. The brahmanas and the sannyasis are expert in the spiritual advancement of society Whereas the Kshatriyas or administrators are expert in the material peace and prosperity of human society. So I was in an argument with one GBC secretary some time ago. It went on for about a month and a half, and it was a very serious thing. In the end, three different GBC secretaries got involved, and I was being attacked for my care, for my flippancy, my impudence, or something like that. And it went around and around. And I was trying to be humble about, because I know I tend to get sarcastic. Kurunas said he and I are both sarcastic. And the only reason we get away with it sometimes is because we're intelligent. Okay. So I know I can be sarcastic and use my intelligence to, you know, get my gratification, whatever. So I'm trying to control that, you know, other things. And so you can exploit your position, your intelligence, your ashram, your physical strength, your beauty, okay, your art, whatever. Okay. And so trying to be go through this thing very nicely. And so at one point, the GBC secretary was writing a heavy letter to me, you know, Maharaj, Prabhupada made the GBC, the Ultimate Management Authority in ISKCON. You know. So I responded, yes, and the sannyasis are the ultimate spiritual authority. And so he responded, like that. So to me, it's an imbalance that's developed, that we have to appreciate that, yes, that, you know, that, for example, in the Vyasa Puja book, in the Vyasa Puja presentations originally, Prabhupada had the sannyasis speak first, then the GBC presidents, GBC secretaries, and temple presidents. So yes, anybody can be the most advanced devotee. It doesn't matter who you are, what position you're in. But in terms of Daivi Varna Ashram, okay, then people should act properly according to their position. They should find a proper position for them. And then we should respect it. You know? Vaisheshika says these degrees, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, everybody should use them. And there should be some real meaning to the thing, you know, like that. So that's what I'm working in this, trying to work in this higher education and education. So yeah, the sannyasi should be the spiritual leaders of society, developing these things. New Kshatriyas by GBC, ISKCON, they should be responsible for making sure a nice environment is there. Both of them are pillars of all happiness, and therefore they are meant for full cooperation for common welfare. Maharaj Pariksit was experienced enough to drive away Kali from his field of activities, and therefore make the state receptive to spiritual enlightenment. If the common people are not receptive, it is very difficult to impress upon them the necessity of spiritual advancement. Austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, the basic principles of religion, prepare the ground for the reception of advancement in spiritual knowledge. And Maharaj Pariksit made this favorable condition. Thus the sages of Naimisharanya were able to perform the sacrifice for 1,000 years. In other words, without state support, no doctrine or philosophy or religious principles can progressively advance. There should be complete cooperation between the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas for common good. Even up to Maharaj Ashoka, the same spirit was prevailing. Lord Buddha was sufficiently supported by King Ashoka, and thus his particular cult of knowledge was spread all over the world. The last slide says, Obrigado. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Please accept our humble obeisances. Okay. So that completes our humble presentation. Not really great. That, yeah, Varna Ashram, Dadi Varna Ashram is very important. Shabda is showing the ultimate limit. Now we see Prithu, Mars establishing the intermediary stage of the king. And then I was pointing out Prabhupada, that the Brahmanas are responsible for regulating the kings. And they do this by their brahminical potency. And they should be careful to use it properly. And they should be properly situated. And then the Kshatriyas, the administrators in our own society, everything else, can do the job necessary for preaching, for education. And we can all support the brahminical culture. Okay. So thank you all very much. Any questions, comments, complaints? Our water guy is here, so please discuss amongst yourselves. I'll be right back.
Oh, okay. All right, well, I have muted everybody. Since Mara,
I'm not sure what Jordan had.
I just finishing off a class on the internet here with Hawaii. You're waiting for me to go through here.
Maybe I'll mute you.
What's your name?
Second.
Tom.
Oh, Tom.
Thank
okay.
So you.
I'm Hugh. I'm just kind of hanging out.
Hi, Hugh.
Hi, Hugh.
All right, I muted Mara. Sounds like there's something going on. I hope you can unmute him. Well, I'll check back with him in a minute. I'm also going to take away the screen. Okay. Could everybody hear Maharaj all right and see the PowerPoint presentation?
Beautiful. Thank you.
I heard him just fine. I saw the presentation.
Okay.
I had to reboot my router, so that was the only problem. Yeah. It was great.
Maharaj, are you there? I unmuted him. Maharaj, are you there? No, I guess not. I was just going to ask him, there is that Chanakya sloka about how to control rulers. And he said, just like a snake, they can be given good advice. I didn't know what that meant. Does anybody understand?
Wow. Yeah, that's from Niti Shastra. And if you give good advice to a snake or a rascal in this case, that they don't take the good instruction and they become nishanteye.
Yeah, I'll shut that down. I'm going to pull that. I'll take it down.
Wait a minute. I'll mute again.
Which means you better. Which means peaceful. So. They become very, very, very disturbed.
Oh, I took it in the other way. I thought it meant that you can give a snake good advice. I think, how in the world you can give a snake good advice? Oh, I see. Okay. Even you give them.
Maybe there's some other verse, but that's the verse I was thinking of that Chanakya said in the Chishastra. If you give good advice to... It's the same principle that Christ said, don't cast pearls before swine. And the same principle that we don't preach the glories of the Lord to the faithless. Kind of all along those lines. And we have to be expert in preaching to know how to preach to each and every individual. We've got to size them up fast. And with some people, we don't have a lot of communication before we start speaking with them. And we've got to give them just the right dose.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Otherwise, they just disturb, and they become envious. But if there is one risk we'll ever take, and that is, I'd rather overtry than undertry. I think you'd find that a pretty common opinion. If we're ever going to take a risk, we would risk in telling too much than not enough. Because he'll be purified either way, especially in the line of Mahaprabhu. This is all Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan mission. So even if someone becomes disturbed, actually, and we're speaking purely from our heart, there's definitely benefit there. Because that preaching is the philosophy is none different from Krishna. So as long as our heart's in the right place, I guess ultimately we never go wrong and everyone will benefit. But at the same time, we need for intelligence. Maybe someone else has something.
I once read an article of a Christian in a magazine, and he had obviously heard from the devotees about the immortality of the soul, and he presented an article against that. But before, to set it all up, he actually accurately presented the opposing argument. And his article kind of fell flat after his opening because he presented it so well at the beginning. The rest of it was a joke, which is kind of interesting. In other words, indirectly, he ended up preaching. Even though he had heard something that he was disturbed with and he was trying to defeat fell flat in the attempt.
The argument was about the eternity of the soul?
The immortality of the soul, yeah. Because a lot of Christians, they don't believe that.
Really?
Even the Seventh-day Adventists, they say when the trumpets sound, the dead shall rise. Maybe that's part of the popularity with the zombie movies.
We had a good discussion in our last meeting with that one Christian priest. And he was a very intelligent person. His sister is devotee, you know, Pastor Laurier, nice guy. And he was interesting because he says that the word soul is from the Greek word psyche. And the psyche, the soul that they're talking about is the subtle body that we're talking about. Pretty much it matches up. Then the spirit, respiration, is prana. So at least as far as we can take it, there was no idea of a transcendent soul separate from the body and everything else like that.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. But other Christians, and I also too, what was his name, the guy there, St. Bernard, I didn't get into it too much, but he was saying the same thing, you know. And so it's, you can start coming to the level where there's a basis for communication of what we're talking about. Even one Buddhist, big Buddhist guy, we were arguing about whether there's a soul or not. Atma. So finally he said, okay, I'll give it to you, Hanuman Swami, that 90% of the Buddhists nowadays, when they use the word Atma, they're not referring to the soul. They're referring to what you're calling the subtle body, like that. So right away we got, you know, a lot closer in terms of talking about what is the soul. And also it seems that Prabhupada liked to agitate people. Lectures, for me it's like, Prabhupada, why are you being so argumentative? I feel that way, but I feel Prabhupada laughing at me and saying, well, you preach the way you want to preach. I'll preach the way I'll preach. You know? And you can see so many times Prabhupada agitating women and everything else, and they all go away, you know, grumbling about Swamiji for the next 40 years. You know? And finally agreeing that Swamiji was right. You know?
Krishna gives a great description, analogy in the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter, to help us, to prepare us to understand the soul beyond this lifetime, for the famous verse where Krishna says, Tehino smiyata dehe komaram yalvaram shara, that just as we, in this life, we change bodies. We see the soul, we see the body, we can't be the body, the body is, the body's changing. We don't have the same body we had a number of years ago. All the cells are changing, it's just completely different body. And then just tata dehantara prapti, tata in the same way, we take another body, but those who are dira, and they're not disturbed.
Shakespeare has that same thing, no? In the drama As You Like It, he says all the world's a stage. The men and women, they're in mere actors. They have their entrance and their exits. And he goes through, very poetic, you know, the infant mewling and puking in his mother's arms. And he gives such little snapshot for each one, what's going on like that. And I saw art, one book. The drama is called As You Like It. It's easy to remember for us. And fantastic presentation. So many times I've used that in PowerPoint shows and with some pictures, and then people just they wow, yeah, it's changing bodies. And I haven't found it, but supposedly King Solomon uses the same example. You know, same logical example of just look at the ages and how they're changing. So you're right, it's such it's a powerful thing, you know, for preaching.
In a letter to Karandar that was written just over 40 years ago, Prabhupada had some nice advice for the leaders of the Krishna consciousness movement. Quote, So the future of this Krishna consciousness movement is very bright, so long as the managers remain vigilant that 16 rounds are being chanted by everyone without fail, that they are all rising before 4 a.m. attending Mangal Arti. Our leaders shall be careful not to kill the spirit of enthusiastic service, which is individual and spontaneous and voluntary. They should try always to generate some atmosphere of fresh challenge to the devotees, so that they will agree enthusiastically to rise and meet it. That is the art of management, to draw out spontaneous, loving spirit of sacrificing some energy for Krishna. But where are so many expert managers? All of us should become expert managers and preachers. We should not be very much after comforts and become complacent or self-contented. There must always be some tapasya, strictly observing the regular principles. Krishna consciousness movement must always be a challenge, a great achievement to be gained by a voluntary desire to do it, and that will keep it healthy. So you big managers, now try to train up more and more competent preachers and managers like yourselves. Forget this centralizing and bureaucracy. Srila Prabhupada.
Wow. Mother Teresa said something. She said, people tell me that today's youth is simply self-indulgent. But she said, it's not a fact. She said, today's youth is like the youth of always, idealistic. She said, you give them a challenge and they'll rise to it.
Nice. That last part of it. Anyway, Maharaj, I want to say, I liked your class so much. This is the nicest class I've ever heard you give. I liked how you tied in with Daiva Varnashram, knowing the goal, making adjustments along the way, that, you know, it's incremental. And at the end, you tiag, you know, and the unnecessary, you know, sense pleasures of the body. It reminded me that it's like water on the ashes. Like we had burned everything up last class, but then there is some middle path here. And I liked what Madhukanta Prabhu just read. And it reminded me, you know, you said that sannyasis, that was a good counter to, you know, a bureaucrat. You know what Bhaktivedya Purnamaraj calls bureaucrats? He says bureaucrats are less than sudra. That's his statement. I thought, you know, but I think Srila Prabhupada's books are the ultimate spiritual authority. If we discuss these books and understand them correctly, then I'll give it over to you. What Madhukanta read directly from Srila Prabhupada is he did not centralize bureaucracy, and they've gone against that, and it's clearly giving problems to the flow of the society. You know, it's become a very exclusive society where they send people away in droves.
Mm.
So that has to be corrected. The structure, the very structure of what's being done has to be corrected.
To me, for example, like I've been trying to work in education, which achinta beta beta tapa. Somebody else may do food for life. Somebody else do something else. So my nature, you know, is education, cultural programs. And so then because of that, you know, I just kept on trying to do things. And I finally went to one of the international higher education meetings in Bombay, and then I got involved, and, you know, and doing the work. And so now I'm on the executive committee for the Ministry of Educational Development. And I mentioned that before, maybe, and the title is a lot bigger than the job. But it's just, I see that the problems we have in our yatra, in Peru, for example, or San Francisco, or everywhere, you know, the simplest little temple of 20 people on up to everything. Achinta beta beta tapa, it's the same at every level, you know. And so the Sesha and the Ministry of Education is facing the same thing. You know? Mother Aruda, she has 3 Yahoo groups for homeschooling, and they're writing curriculum. And she says she has over 1,200 people, like, you know, professors from Australia, writing stuff for kids and different things like that. And the thing is that then for how is the Ministry of Education for ISKCON supposed to deal with this, you know, in terms of, like, making sure there's some level of purity in the stuff. And also same time, too, what's the thing? Getting everybody so they so everybody knows what everybody else is doing to some reasonable extent. And so I like, you know, working with Sesha because he has that attitude of coordination, some control if there's a crisis, but basically just inspiring everybody a little bit, appreciating that he can inspire people a lot because he hasn't got the budget and stuff like that. But beyond that, okay. And so many big projects have developed which are not, you know, produced by the GBC or by a central authority. Same time, to my experience, is that being GBC secretary is, you know, is a hell of a job. If you're really a sincere person, trying to do that is hell. You know, it's like being a mother with 6 kids. It's unbelievable. And of course, you're prominent. You know, so but I agree too. I mean, maybe we're getting on the shrinky side of things, but I agree that there's been a shift towards passion, you know, and stuff like that. And so then the brahmanas have to act properly, set a good example, and then create a good atmosphere, a good culture in which the passion becomes properly engaged like that.
Mm. Maharaj, you've got the... Oh, I'm sorry. I interrupted.
No.
I thought the Degda was going to say something. This just no. Luciano is asking quite a long question here. Maybe I'll go ahead and read. I'm sure you can see it in the chat.
Do you know his full name?
No. Bhakta Luciano.
No. It's Machiavelli.
Oh, Bhakta Luciano Machiavelli.
No, we're good friends. We're good friends there in Chile. Yeah. So
it's quite involved. People. Should I go ahead and read this so that those that can't see this can also hear the question?
I guess so. Yeah, I see it there on the chat then.
Okay, I'll read it so everybody can hear it on Skype and also on free conferencing. What happens if a Brahmana sannyasi likes giving material instructions? He takes an administrative position and sits there telling people what to do, which is not, must be his dharma. And starts making a mess. According to my understanding of the verse, the local intelligent class must dethrone him, but you also mentioned that Prabhupada had told a devotee to follow a temple president's instruction, but that did not mean associate with him. If you come across someone in a spiritual leadership position, did I miss something?
Yes, if we come across.
Oh, I'm sorry. If we come across someone in a leadership, spiritual leadership position, and his service is way below standard, such that his action degrades the rest of the community, what should one do?
So in that exchange of letters, which was going around when I was, like, you know, living in the temple, I hadn't even taken second initiation, I guess. So I don't have the exact copy, but the comment from Prabhupada was, the full comment was, no, you should follow his instructions until I get there, like that. So because it appears that things weren't so crazy that, you know, that they were just, you know, it was a catastrophe, what you call it. It was an emergency. And so Prabhupada's idea was, okay, the things are going on reasonably well, and if we dethrone the poor fellow, then it's going to create, you know, a horrible situation. Okay, so just go on supporting, and when I get there, I will adjust things. Okay? So that's what I would say is one perspective is there is recourse. Enthusiasm is more important than patience, but without patience, it just becomes passion. So then we can go to authorities. If some local authority is not, say, like any organization, you know, the local manager has his regional manager, and then the regional managers have their peer group. And Prabhupada's formula, as I understand, was if somebody is acting improperly, you can make a complaint to the GBC secretary. If you don't feel he's acting properly in terms of it, you can go to two more GBC secretaries, and then you could go to him directly. But administratively, he wanted that to happen first. But, you know, before everybody came to him with problems about, you know, the artik being too short or something, or, you know, the Brahmacharini ashram didn't have proper bathroom, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would say, is that there, you know, there's recourse. Yeah. Yeah. Any more other questions? And again, you know, because dethroning him could be, one bhakta was a bhakta Buford. He'd been a bhakta for maybe 6 weeks, and he was really good at collecting and everything else. And, you know, becoming naturally a little puffed up, you know. So one time we were in the big commercial garage with Jayananda, Bhaktadas, Bhakta Buford, Krita Karma, and myself. And then Jayananda said, in humility personified, he said, you know, Bhakta Buford, I've been a devotee for 6 years or whatever it is, you know, and you've only been here 6 weeks and you're already so much more advanced than I am. What's your secret? Come on, tell me. And the thing was, Jayananda meant it like that for the most part. And so it was so obvious, you know, of course, that Jayananda was so much more spiritually situated than Bhakta Buford, and even Bhakta Buford knew that, you know. So it was just like with just that one thing, Bhakta Buford's big balloon just would, you know, popped, and he came back down to reality. You know? So just like that, in the beginning, just a few words to a person from the right person and the right perspective, intelligent words, can correct their consciousness. You just let them see what they're doing and everything else. In many cases, that's many cases. So especially if he's following the principles and chanting his round, that's enough usually. If somebody just got to, you know, put it properly in a friendly fashion. In most cases, people will take the advice. And then Prabhupada said, it's the whole thing. And then Prabhupada said, okay, if they don't, then you have somebody they respect, talk to them. If that doesn't work, then in a community meeting when everybody's there, you bring the topic up in a general fashion without embarrassing people. And just because of the community ethos, the person, without even thinking it many times, will just accept it, you know, like that. So there are ways to deal with it properly. You know. But you can always just chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. And Krishna Balaram will take care of the situation. And if they want us to act properly in the situation, they'll give us the Shakti. So that's what I would understand.
Okay. Anybody else have any last thing they would like to say? Maharaj, thank you for doing the PowerPoint presentation. It really captures our attention even more, I think. I know it's trouble to do.
No, you're thanking me is kind of like thanking a cow for eating grass.
Well, I think cows are eating grass. They give milk.
Yeah, but then you don't have to thank them for it. It's just, again, my Shudra nature is just, unless I do these things, I don't feel gratified, you know. Yeah, I've gotten people tell me that I do the big professors. They say, never seen such good PowerPoint shows. But I don't do it. It's just the thoughts come to my mind. My nature is there. So somebody else is a cook, you know. And I can't cook. I'm living here in a cave. I mix, somebody cooks granola and I mix it with, you know, low-fat milk. So I get a decent meal once a week when I visit the Vyasas. You know? So everybody, that's her name. I mean, that's one thing I think is, Mother Kandita, she said, I think it's important to show respect for one another. And that's the first verse of the Bhagavatam, no? Reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Trey Rishi, I hear that echoing. He said, if you well-wisher. And I've seen it. I was angry with my GBC secretary because he wasn't doing this and that. And then I thought, well, why am I angry? Because it's disturbing my peaceful living. Okay. So then I started thinking about it, you know, from a perspective of everybody's benefit. Then I started talking about it again. At first he was like, you know, sensitive, okay, this guy's arguing again. But then right away he picked up on the fact that I was really into it now for everybody's benefit. And he started to explain why he was doing things, and we were discussing it. And yeah, some things I didn't know came out, and I adjusted my mentality. And simultaneously, then he appreciated the comments, and then everything was okay. But it's exactly that point, you know, is that Vaishnava relationships before administrative relationships. Yeah, yeah. Even if it takes longer to get the thing solved, yeah. In the end, it'll be, you know, so much more productive. Yeah. So thank you all very much. I guess I should. Interesting. This guy came to fix the water pipes, and he can tell he's been smoking a little bit and everything else. You know, but he just goes right at it. He knows his service. And he's a Shudra. His name is Tom. Probably I'll joke with him about being St. Thomas a little bit. Get him on the spiritual platform. So, thank you so much. These classes for me are so nice. It's good association, you know, and these senior devotees and broad spectrum like that. Thank you very much. So, Prabhupada ki jai.
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 Thank you very much, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.